श्रीमती भक्ति बनंत स्वामी के नाम में नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी और वाणी विचार में विशेष सुनने वाली पति देश ओम गणेशमनंदस्य जनार्दन सलकाय सबसे सुंदर थान जैन तस्मय श्री गिरिवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मन विष्टम स्थपितम जैन विद्यालय सायम विश्वकर्म महेंद्र भक्ति साधन जनसुखम अंश प्रकृति ज्येष्ठ कृप सिंह गुरु बचा प्रति चलन प्रदेव वैष्णव Krishna has explained about the difference between those who worship him directly and those who worship the demigods and those who worship the impersonal, those who have established impersonal. And he has called those who worship the demigods and he has called those who, what does Upamedasa mean? Possessing little intelligence. And those who worship the impersonal of a buddhaya, which means less than little intelligence, no intelligence. So that's so Krishna explains that Vyaktim Vyaktim Aparam Manite Mam Abhudaya. They think of me with that little intelligence that have assumed this form and personality. They think that previously I was impersonal and now I have descended in a personal way and then ultimately I'm impersonal. What do you think about that philosophy? Why? Boring, doing nothing forever. Yeah. Just imagine that. It's worse than going to school. Like you just have to sit there. Did they have a system of detention? Mm-hmm. And what do you have to do in detention? What do you do there?
It's not the right person to speak about this.
Yeah. What, you have fun in detention?
I have fun, yeah.
What do you do?
Usually they ask us
to find things. How come when we ask you to clean up things, you never think that's fun? Wait a second. Anyway, when I was young, in school, when they had detention, they'd make you do nothing. You couldn't do your homework, you just have to sit there for an hour. Well, if they did that to you, do you think that would be fun? Just doing nothing? And they won't let you sleep either. You can't even text anyone or anything, your mobile phone. That is the worst type of torture because we can see that no one can stop doing something for even a moment. And if there's nothing to do, people go to sleep. Because the nature of the soul is to be active. So to think of the Supreme as impersonal, when he himself is saying, Mum, so many times, me, I am like this, I am like this, I am like this, I am like this. He's saying, I am like that, and then the impersonalists say what he really means is not what he says, but this is what he really means. And it's strangely, it's the opposite of what he said. So that's why they're called abhudaya, having no intelligence, because they're following, they're accepting the Bhagavad Gita as an authority. So they're following the words of the Bhagavad Gita and speaking of Bhagavad Gita, but then whatever Krishna says, speaks about him, aham sabhasya prabhava matakshavam prabhattate. Whenever he speaks about himself, sute mani ganaiva, that everything rests on me like pearls are sung on a thread, everything emanates from me. Then they change it and say, no, this is what he really means. So they're taking their own thought and superimposing it over Krishna's idea. So that isn't a very good idea. So in the 24th verse, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before, and I have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. What does imperishable mean? What does imperishable mean? Yes, ever existing, basically. Yeah? Ever existing. So something that is ever existing. So Krishna says his nature is ever existing. So that means it doesn't change. He doesn't become personal from impersonal and then goes back to being impersonal. Because if you think about it, what would cause the impersonal to become personal? What would cause the impersonal? Yeah, it would have to be some desire. I want to become personal from impersonal. And as soon as you have your desire, you're not impersonal anymore. So there's a problem. Because desire is the nature of a person. So Krishna is a person. So due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So that nature is supreme. Param bhavam adananto. They don't know my supreme existence. And what is the nature of that? It's imperishable. Avyayam anuttamam. It is uttam. It's the topmost, the finest, as Prabhupada translates it here. So he's avyayam. What does avyayam mean again? Imperishable. And what does imperishable mean? Eternal or ever existing. So then a question can come, because Krishna says, I'm existing always. Then why can't we see him? Sometimes when Prabhupada was asked that question, can you show me God? And he said, yes, just look. Sometimes when people said to Prabhupada, do you see God? And he said, what is the use of you knowing that? How does that help you? It's like if I have eaten a meal, does that mean that you have any food in you? Sometimes he would answer that kind of question in that way. And I've heard that one time someone said to him, do you see God? And he said, no, you are in the way. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard he said that there too. So, what if he is avyayam and anuttama, he's imperishable and supreme, why can't we see him? So in text 25, Krishna explains. Previously in 7:15, he said, Namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya aprita jnana asuram bhavamasita. That those kind of people, they don't surrender to me and they don't know me. So Krishna will now explain why they can't know him. Naham prakasya savasya yoga maya samavrita. Samavrita means covered. For these people who haven't surrendered to me, who take shelter of demigods or just their material desires or the impersonal, mudo yam nabhijananti. They cannot understand nabhijananti. They cannot understand because they are mudhas or foolish. Naham prakasya savasa. I don't manifest. I've never manifested to them. Yoga Maya Samavrita. They are covered. Samavrita means covered. They are covered by my Yoga Maya. Mudayam Navizanati. So these mudas, or rascals, or donkeys, or asses, they can never know me. Lokomam Ajam Avyayam. So Avyayam is used in this verse too, and in the last verse it is also used. What does Avyayam mean? Imperishable. Very good. So Lokomam, these people, these persons cannot understand me, even though I am Ajam and Avyayam. I am unborn, Ajam, and imperishable. I am always, forever existing. But still they cannot see me because they are covered by Yogamaya Samavrita. Covered by Yogamaya. So here is Prabhupada's translation. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. No one who is deluded can see Krishna. And what is the delusion of every living entity is that in Maya we experience ourselves as separate from Krishna. And the cure of this delusion is to be in relationship with Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, to turn towards Krishna from being Bahiyamukh to Savukh, from our back to Krishna to facing Krishna. Read from some of Prabhupada's purport. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this earth and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, when he was present on the earth, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few persons who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Sisupal spoke against Krishna being elected the president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the supreme god. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Queen of Kunti in Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, Maya Javanikatstanam, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. It's a curtain that covers Krishna. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad Mantra 15, in which the devotee prays Haranya Mayena Patrena Satyasya Pahitam Mukam Tatvam Pudansan Avrinu Satya Dhammaya Dristaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yogamaya. The Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satyidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. So Prabhupada explains a little more, but here it is clear why we can't see Krishna. It's interesting also that Prabhupada said that when he was present on earth, it's not that everyone saw him and understood who he was. Duryodhana was such a rascal. when Krishna came as a peace messenger for the Pandavas, for Yudhisthira, he requested it. Their rulers, their kshatriyas, they need something to be able to rule. At least give them 5 villages. And there they were, such powerful persons. At least give them 5 villages. And what was Duryodhana's reply? Now that's not very much. One couldn't say that's very generous hearted, is it? So he was so envious. He couldn't spare enough land to put a needle through. Now, how many needles would it take to give him just a pinch of land? You could put 1,000 needles in a pinch of land, and he wouldn't even spare enough to put 5 needles through, or 1 needle through. So he was so envious of. And then when Krishna was going to leave, Duryodhana ordered that Krishna be captured and tied up. So he was so inimical. It's like Vidura said that Duryodhana was envy personified, offense personified. And what did Krishna do? He just laughed. And then he assumed a huge universal form, not quite as universal as he showed Arjuna in the 11th chapter. He assumed a powerful form, and he couldn't, of course, be contained by that. So Duryodhana, due to his enmity with Krishna, could not see who Krishna was. He looked and saw something completely different from what Krishna was. And this is Krishna's nature. Everyone sees Krishna according to their consciousness and how much, what aspect of Krishna reveals to them. So when Krishna walked into the wrestling arena, who had called him to the wrestling arena?
Kamsa.
And what happened right before he got to the wrestling arena? He killed the elephant whose name was Kuvalayapita in a wonderful way. And before that, he broke the day before, as he was wandering through the village or the city of Mathura, he had broken the great sacrificial bow. He was warning Kamsa, "I'm here. You should release my parents." He was warning Kamsa. And Kamsa tried to kill him. He sent his battalions of soldiers to kill Krishna and Balaram. They took the bow that they had broken. It was actually a bow of Lord Shiva. It was huge. And they were going to perform a sacrifice, a Janmur Jagya, a bow sacrifice. And they took, Krishna broke it and strung it. And the guards told him, "Keep away, keep away. You're not allowed to go near it." And he just, and then they attacked him. And Krishna took one end of the bow that he had just broken, and Balaram took the other end. And he killed all the soldiers, and then Kamsa sent reinforcements. And they went to the same place where their friends had gone previously. They went to the abode of death. And then Krishna just casually walked back from the city, back to where he was staying. And he was staying outside of the city, in like a garden outside of the city. The cowherd men had brought their wagons and placed them outside the city, and they made a circle. And Krishna just peacefully slept underneath the wagons at night, because he was just a village boy. He was thinking of himself. He was with his friends. He was happy. And then the next day, Krishna arrived late. Everyone was already in the arena. And Krishna killed Kuvalayapita, the elephant, and Balaram, and he killed him with his tusk. He was a huge elephant, powerful, exceptionally powerful. And Krishna pulled out his tusk and went and he put that the other tusk, and Balaram took one of the tusks and Krishna took the other, put it on their shoulders, and they walked into the wrestling arena. And they walked around and they put their back to Kamsa. And the elephant, he could see. He could see that the elephant, powerful elephant, who had been placed there by Kamsa to kill Krishna. He was dead. How could they tell he was dead? Because Krishna and Balaram were holding the tusks. Then the wrestling. Before it began, all the people, the wrestlers, came out and challenged them. Krishna and Balaram, and these men were huge, huge, powerful, strong. They were the king's wrestlers. They were huge and powerful and strong. They were grown men. And this is what they did. And they were Krishna and Balaram just like boys. And Krishna said, I don't think this is a fair match. These huge men and we're just little boys. But we know that you can wrestle very well. But our wrestling is just with our friends in the pasturing ground. I don't think we should wrestle. Krishna was indirectly warning them, and they said, we know that you're not an ordinary boy. You killed the elephant Kuvalayapita, who was capable of killing thousands of elephants. You've killed him by your own hands. We know you're not ordinary, so therefore you should fight with us. She said, okay. Don't say I didn't warn you. So before the fight began, while they were standing there, there was delicate, beautiful Krishna and powerful Chanur. And all the people in the wrestling arena were looking at Krishna. And they all saw him in different ways, according to their own mentality. So some saw him as the most wonderful person, the most beautiful male, the most wonderful child. Some saw him as a thunderbolt. The rest of us saw him like a thunderbolt. And when Kamsa looked at him, he saw, here is death personified. The Yarus saw him as the best of the Yaru dynasty. The yogis who were there saw him as the super soul. So according to their consciousness, and we also see this when Lord Nisringadeva appeared, and also Prithviraj, everyone offers their prayers according to their own realizations. We see that when Krishna appears, when there's the prayers to Krishna while he's still in the womb, the demigods offer prayers to Krishna. And their kind of prayers are completely different than the words of Nanda Maharaj, because their mentality is that of demigods. So everyone will see Krishna. So those who don't have a devotional mentality, they don't actually see Krishna. Krishna keeps the curtain down. But so it says here, very interesting, that only a few people could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada says when he was not manifest to everyone, when Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of the Kurus, Bhishma supported him, the Pandavas, and a few others knew he was the Supreme Lord. He was not everyone. Not everyone understood this. So there's two sides of this. Because there, the Pandavas and Bhishma understood that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the inimical people, persons, they also didn't understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But also, the residents of Vrindavan didn't understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're covered by Yogamaya also. They're covered by Yogamaya as opposed to the aspect of Yogamaya known as Mahamaya, which the non-devotees are covered with. When Mother Yasoda saw the universe within Krishna's mouth, she was thinking that, how can I be thinking that that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and the residents of Braja are my subjects, and this boy who has the universe in his mouth, he's my son. And she was thinking like this. This is all the power of Maya that makes me think like this. And then Krishna expanded his yoga Maya to cover the consciousness of Mother Yashoda. So she didn't understand him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She simply understood him as her beloved son. So the covering of Mother Yashoda is, we say, is by yoga Maya. And then the covering of Duryodhana and all the conditioned souls in this world where they don't understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God, it is done by Mahamaya, the external energy of the Lord. So both are covering, but they're covering in different ways according to the consciousness of the person. So, so much depends on our consciousness. So Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mam Nabhijananti Yavanishyasmi Tatvata, cannot know only by devotional service. If we have devotional consciousness, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. And when will he reveal himself to us?
In his place with us.
Whatever he wants, when he so desires. Sometimes, even though he may be pleased with us, he doesn't show himself to us. This is described by the word sudulava. Describing how bhava bhakti is so rare, sometimes Krishna withholds it just to increase the devotee's desire, because that high devotional service is so powerful that Krishna himself is controlled by it. So he doesn't just give it out. So he increases the devotee's desire. And also, as Srivijit Goswami describes, that he only gives it out, but it is rare if we perform devotional service without attachment. But if one performs devotional service with attachment to Krishna, then it is, and by Krishna's mercy, he will give it. So no one can see Krishna, or very rare that someone can see Krishna, because of the covering of. So if there's a curtain. Say if I have a curtain between myself and Amayama Prabhu, you can't see me, and also, huh?
I can't see you.
Yeah, you can't see me, and also, I can't see you. Right, but does that mean, yeah. You had it right, but it was just backwards right. But does that mean when the curtain of Yoga Maya covers us from seeing Krishna, that Krishna can't see us? No. So that's explained in the next verse. O Arjuna, Vedaham Samatitani, Bhat Mamani, Sa Arjuna, Bhavishyani, Chabutani, Mam Tu Veda Nakastana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, and all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities, but me, no one knows. Because Krishna is different from us in that he is never covered, because what covers us, things that the energies of Krishna covers us, but the energy cannot cover the energetic, the source of the energy. Krishna is never under the control of his external energy, and therefore his vision is never covered. Can you remember your past life?
No.
You sure? Then what were you?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Because it says, the Prabhupada says in the purport, now I'll read this first paragraph and then you'll understand why I asked you that. Here the question of personality and impersonality is clearly stated. If Krishna, the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were Maya, material, as the impersonalists consider him to be, then, like the living entity, he would change his body and forget everything about his past life. Anyone with a material body cannot remember his past life, nor can he foretell his future life. What's your future life going to be? I don't know. Nor can he predict what the outcome is of his present life. What will be the outcome of your present life? Huh? What did you say? What will be the outcome of your present life? Yeah. Therefore, he cannot know what is happening in the past, present, and the future. Unless one is liberated from material contamination, he cannot know past, present, and future. Unlike the ordinary being, human being, Krishna clearly says that he completely knows what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, and will happen in the future. In the fourth chapter, we have seen that Lord Krishna remembers instructing Vivashan, the sun god, millions of years ago. Krishna knows every living entity because he's situated in every being, living being's heart as the super soul. Now, what do you think about that?
Knows how we're going to use our free will. It seems like there's always junctures in life where living entity can choose, and that may even go against astrology or whatever. So Krishna, he knows how the living entity is going to use his free will.
Well, that's such a tricky question. I've heard Prabhupada answer it, yes. And then the question comes from that, if Krishna knows, then is it really free will that you have? Anyway, I heard Prabhupada answer it, yes. Does he know what you're going to choose? But then I've heard other people, sort of from a philosophical point of view, saying that that means that he knows what is to be known. And I've heard that also stated like that, rather, so because that's not to be known, because it's free will. Well, what I understand is that Krishna, to understand what Krishna understands is quite difficult, because he's unlimited and he's God, so what he had, you know, could be very subtle, you know, so in a simple way, we should just not worry about what Krishna knows, but try to figure out what we know and act on it. So how does that change things if you take that point of view, for example? If we try to, because you can really get into thinking and thinking, does Krishna know everything that I'm going to do in advance of me doing it? So if he already knows, does that mean I have no free will? And you can just think about it and make you just play on that intellectual speculative platform forever. Just like trying to work out how the living entity got here. You know, falling, not falling, all those kind of questions. So instead of playing around on the speculative platform, we just think, what is my service to Krishna, and try our best to do it.
That can sometimes be where the speculation comes in, because one's not always certain exactly. One may be thinking, oh, what does Krishna want? And it can create speculation. Does Krishna want this? Does Krishna want
that? That was the same problem that Arjuna had. Should I fight in the battle or not? So what did he do? But before that,
he surrendered.
So therein usually is, or can be, one of why it's so difficult to figure it out, because we don't know the future. So we can think, well, if I go this way, and this way, and this way, either this could happen, or that could happen. Or maybe that could happen, or that could happen, or that could happen, or that could happen, or that happen. But then if I go that way, that could happen, or that could happen, So in this way, we can just float around for a very long time trying to figure out something that we'll never be able to figure out. Sometimes we have, when we have hard questions to answer about which way we should go in life, and there's no one we can really feel comfortable asking, in the sense of that we're going to listen to what they say, then we can read like the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the second half of the 18th chapter. And And if we sincerely seek to see, read Prabhupada's instructions, read the whole thing, try to understand, see where it leads us, see what surrender is for us.
What's the second half of the meaning?
Well,
which verse is going to be 22?
Which specifically? Which verses? Why I like to, when I'm doing this one, start right where Krishna starts talking about the qualities, what is it, from 44 onward or something of the, and then of course he goes from karma yoga to jnana yoga, and then to bhakti yoga, to Bhagavan realization, and then to realization of himself. And if you take the process and hear Krishna's words, often you understand what you should do. Or there's another way is you'd find someone to sort of talk you through the whole process.
Sometimes a person who may talk you through the whole process may have a certain based on your own nature or your own approach, a certain conception that they put onto you.
Right. So if you don't want to have that person's conception put on you, find a person who is going to talk you through your process, not their process. Because, there are lots of people who are devotees too, who are trained in counseling. One of the devotees in Melbourne told me it was an important decision for them. They wanted to know whether they should keep their young boy in India or in Melbourne or bring him to India. And there's reasons on either side. So they just asked him, they just talked, and it took them a few hours. Just talked through all the pros and cons and everything of every side. And then he reached his conclusion.
They have somebody guiding them through
that. That's what I'm talking about. You find someone who'll talk you through the process, work you through the process, help you through, go through the, because it's hard to think clearly sometimes by your own self, but if you have it's like a counselor type of thing. And in this case, when they came to a point when they where they understood what the real concern was, because it takes a while sometimes to get to that point, to understand what we're really worried about, or really thinking, or really want, and things like that. So when they understood some of the premises of what he really was wanted, he said, no, then you should do this. It was clear to the person who was counseling that, no, he was experienced enough. If you want that, and if you go here, it's not going to take you there. But that was after a long time. So, Now is everything clear to you? I know what you know what your duty is, right? You do, don't you? To study for your exam, right?
Yeah.
On Thursday, the big exam looms. But fearless Neil, fearless Neil. You think instead of these silly t-shirts, you should get one that says fearless Neil. It's a good idea, isn't it?
You caught him that time. He didn't reply.
But he's fearless because he remembers the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Always. Because Krishna promises that he'll protect his devotees.
So you're going to get one of those t-shirts?
In fact, we can all start wearing them.
Do you have our own name or his name?
His name, of course.
How boring is that?
It depends what picture he had on it.
That would be sweet. Still, Neil.
Fearless Jagatarini, that won't fit on a t-shirt.
Try another one.
She who makes leaves.
Leaf cutter.
So. So then the question is, so Krishna sees everything, the living entity doesn't. He's bewildered, he doesn't see accurately. When did he become bewildered? How did he become bewildered? So there's these two verses, basically the end of this chapter, these next two verses. And then the two verses after that are really the lead-in to the next chapter, to chapter 8. So maybe we'll leave those two verses for tomorrow. If there's any questions. I always thought this would be a computer program that helps you make decisions. So it tells you what to do, you know, just answer all these questions and then it comes and computes it. And then it tells you what, you know, which way you should, you in. Yeah.
Like a GPS.
Like a GPS. Yeah, just like a GPS.
That's awful. You have this educated, you know, lady's voice saying, you should now, then left, and
no,
married, and then you should get a job. And then
what's she talking about? I'm already married. What is she telling me?
Because sometimes they get it wrong. They send it to the wrong
person. I'm not talking about that kind of a program, not a GPS, but one that you fill. It asks you so many questions, and then after you answer all the questions, and it tells you 30% you want to go this way, and 70% you want to go that way. But it takes a human brain to do that, I think. Answer it. Figure out.
What if you think that no one will be able to tell you? What if you think no one will be able to tell you? They won't bother to want to tell.
That's
you.
Why you need a computer program. No one will take the time.
I can't even work a computer, so I'm stuffed.
You could ask Kathy to help you out.
Oh.
Anyway, if you ask Jazzy what to do, she'll tell you.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Fearless Jazzy.
Yeah.
with a chair raised over her.
Oh, I remember one time, many, many, many years ago, when we were still at the Bayswater Temple, and Zazie was like 13 years old. How old is she now?
25.
Oh. So it was quite a long time ago.
She was
12, and she was wearing this dress. And she wasn't in a very happy mood, but she was wearing this like crinoline type of a dress. So I said, "Jazzy, you look really nice today." And she said, "Get real birds on." She was 12. Western humor.
What a culture. Therefore, we are suffering.
Totally no intelligence and got a lot of power and thinks that it can rule.
No, one. That's called Maya, when we think we can rule. And if you're Maya, you can't have a lot of intelligence.
But
any questions? Okay, we'll save these verses for tomorrow. Very nice verses, the next two verses. Important verses.
If Krishna knows the future, as he's saying, is that because there isn't any past and present and future for him?
It's very difficult to understand Krishna's consciousness. In fact, we can't understand. Because time is his energy, so obviously he's not under the control. Again, the energetic isn't controlled by the energy. But he says, "I know past, present, and future." So that obviously means that there's still past, present, and future. But he is not controlled by it.
New York says, "I know every living being, but then no one knows." Simultaneously knows everybody's consciousness.
And no one knows his. People know him as much as he allows them to know him according to their consciousness. He allows people to know him.
How do you get past the fact that you were saying Krishna is a person and we have to have a relationship with him? But to do that, we would have to surrender. How can we not? That's why we're impersonal, because we don't want to surrender. We don't want to be based that relationship. So we choose to just be under dull matter.
So
we have to give up our material desires. So isn't there a middle place where you gradually doing that? Don't you go through hell all the time feeling you're terrible because you're not giving up your material desires, and you can't. You can't give them up.
Just chant Hare Krishna, and also chant the names of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari, Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And try to serve as best you can.
And don't go mental in the process, just stay warm.
But don't go mental about going mental.
Right.
Just chant and don't worry about you and what you're thinking so much. Try to serve. Because otherwise we just are always thinking about us and what my problem is and how bad I am and how I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about this and I'm like this and I'm so bad and I did this yesterday and that wasn't good and have this material desire. That doesn't sound exactly like Krishna consciousness, does it? So therefore, is it chant?
But that kind of consciousness isn't an example of somebody who's trying to become Krishna conscious and feeling disturbed. That's the example of somebody who's been disturbed. There's plenty of people like that, feel like that about their work, or they feel like that about their...
But also there's plenty of people like that who become confronted with their karma, who are trying to be Krishna conscious, and they allow those type of, that type of thinking to be the dominant thoughts that they have to. They become problem oriented as opposed to Krishna oriented. And that's not humility.
How do you get out of that situation?
Chant Hare Krishna. Meaning that, I mean, not, I'm not saying that all you have to do is know what you have to do and that makes you fully capable of doing it. But that's what we have to try to do, is to chant Hare Krishna and think about Krishna always. And then if you find yourself a very fallen soul, then touch that concept and turn to Krishna and think about Krishna. And that's called humility.
But humility doesn't mean feeling bad about how badly you're doing.
Well, humility, that's the first small step in humility. The part that makes it humility as opposed to self-absorption is when you call out to Krishna, then it's humility. Because you're a fallen soul. But if you just think about it, you're a fallen soul day long, that's not humility, that's just self-absorption. Indeed. So, we're not recommended to do that, to get lost in our mind. We're recommended to tell our mind to get lost. Okay. Go bother someone else for a while. New York slang, beat it, get lost. Okay, at least we've had a playful class. And your exam is on Thursday?